The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
God bless you for tuning in. Hello, this is Christina Sasso of Freedom Fellowship Church and Sons of God International, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. What a wonderful God we serve. Changes are coming, and many wonderful things. The church is really emerging as a glorious church, and it means you included. So get your hearts right, let's get a new mindset, and let's begin. Just for you, our radio listeners, you are a part of our Sunday evening service. And I just wanted to remind you to register for the prophetic conference on September 29th and 30th. Seating is limited. How do you register? You can go to our website, www.sogmi.org. Again, it's sogmi.org. Now we're going to continue with a revelation, with a new revelation from God. The time that we're in, just like what God promised us, if we receive the things that we have been praying and believing God for, the prophetic words that God has released upon your life is going to come to pass. Because the best way, not the only way, the best way to get the attention of the backsliding Christians and even unbelievers is through signs and wonders. And once it manifested in your life, then you know you can give it away. No one can talk you out of it. And when you know, when you are partakers of God's miracles and grace, you have the anointing or the confidence or the authority to share this to others, okay? And I'm going to show in the Bible that in this time that we're in, the greatness of the season that we're in, new revelation will come through wisdom, vision, word of knowledge, right? That are exact. And you got people's attention through the word of knowledge. I know from my own experience, when you prophesy to people, you get their attention, especially when you give them a word of knowledge that they know, and they know that only God can reveal those to a person. And you know that God is in it. And it will change you. You will pay attention when somebody receives a word of knowledge. So this is what's happening in our days. Remember, I shared with you how God is beginning to let me see visions and is talking to me again in dreams numerous times, almost every night. I love to go to sleep now so that I know I'm going to hear from him. And then at the same time, he talks to me face to face. Well, God doesn't talk to you that way. That's the reasons why you take a listen, because of the fact that God can really talk to you face to face. And God is funny. He's not, thou art holy. He is holy, right? But he is not that proper stiff person. And I'm going to show to you in the Bible the effectiveness of the word of knowledge, okay? So we're going to talk about Jesus, since the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Without him, it's false prophets. Okay, let's go to John chapter 1, starting with verse 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God, a prophet confirming that Jesus is the Lamb of God, a well-known anointed prophet, right? When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Now let's go down to verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And here it is. Jesus looked at him, meaning Peter, and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which was translated to Peter. So Jesus looked at him and gave him a word of knowledge. You are Simon, son of John, and you will be called Cephas. It's a word of knowledge and a prophecy for the future. In the future, you will not be called Simon, you'll be called Peter. But he identified him. That got Peter and said, oh, this must be the Messiah, really. Because he knows, right? And this is what's going to happen, this is going to manifest in our lifetime, because Jesus expects us to do greater things than he did. And remember, we are now operating in the priesthood of Melchizedek, right? Okay. Verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. And he did. Verse 44. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So Philip is telling his friend, best friend, or buddy, Nathanael, come on. We have found the Messiah. His name is Jesus, and he's the son of Joseph, right? Okay. Verse 46, and said, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Nathanael was what? Prejudiced, snooty, elitist. Am I correct? Oh, no. I'm not going to live in the south side of San Antonio. I'm going to live in the Dominion because this is where I belong. You live where? Right? And I said, uh-uh. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. He said, how do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. What chains? Word of knowledge. Right? Because if I were to be Jesus, if I'm not saved and I'm a prophet, I'll say like, yeah, and you told me this. And so you were so snooty, you said that there's nothing good that will come out of Nazareth. Right? But Jesus, no. Jesus only saw what the Holy Spirit showed him. A vision of who Nathanael is. Same thing with us. With all of our prejudices, with all of our shortcomings, with all of our weaknesses and shortcomings, Jesus is not looking at those. He's looking at you and your destiny. Who you truly are. Here is a man who don't know any deceit. And here he is. He was snooty. Jesus overlooked all of those because that's the world's way. And here he is. He is being led by the Holy Spirit. Are you getting this? And things got changed because of that. So now Nathanael not only believed, I guarantee you, he stopped saying those things. Oh, Nazareth. Oh, that's a good town. That's where the Messiah is staying. That's a good, good town. Oh, Southside? Oh, good town. Right? I see that when I move there, development and blessings and progress will follow me. And that's who we are. We don't look at the challenges. We look at the outcome and the ending result. God wants the glory, and we get the goods. Right? And we can tell others. That's the word of knowledge. I remember when Deb and Esther and Dora, because I was crying to the Lord, I was fighting discouragement. You spend a lot of time discipling people, they got offended, and then they leave. And then new ones come in, and then they leave for some reasons or another. And I was discouraged. I told the Lord and said, where do I fail? And said, like, what do I need to do? And I said, like, these people, and they've been saying this about you, and they've been giving you challenges. And said, and you want to keep them? Well, I thought that's being a Christian. Am I correct? But then I said, like, well, and said, they're yours. They're not mine. Anyway, so But I'm still, I said, God, I'm still a little bit depressed. And he said, like, no. And it's just like, I'm sending you. And he told me, three women and Kobe. They were finding excuse after excuse to really leave and go as far as they can. But what got their attention? The word of knowledge. Got people's attention. How did I break into the mold of all the stumbling blocks that people put before me? Signs and wonders. Word of knowledge. And sometimes they really think that I know everything. And sometimes they're scared. They're scared of me, but they're drawn to the prophetic. Because God sent each and every one of you. But it's a word of knowledge. Because once everything that we are holding dear, everything that we're focused, when we're comfortable, we already cross our T's and put the dots on our I's that we have and get our doctrine situated. And all of a sudden, and we are obeying everything, right? Okay, we have to get the confession of this, or when the name and claim it came about, everybody's doing things. And then when God gives you a revelation or a word of knowledge that is just totally, totally out of your doctrine, as long as it comes from Jesus, God is up to something big to transform your life and those that you touch. Okay? So it is important for this time not to get comfortable on where you're at. You cannot be comfortable with the anointing anyway. So much more with the word of knowledge is very exact. And it is coming now because it is coming, it's starting in 2017, that the word of knowledge will come back in such a big way, in such an anointed way, that you don't have any doubts that before you speak and go after shadows, not anymore, because God is going to give you an exact, because he expects us in 2017 for the church to come up as a glorious church, okay? That's why prophecy, prophets, and apostles are taking center stage, just like in the book of Acts, okay? And we pastors, we better go along with it or get swept away. Because we pastors, we're not the leader of the five offices. Hello? We're not. Even in the scriptures, it is the apostles and the prophets that build the church. Hello? So everyone has to endeavor. That's why the word of God says that do not despise prophecy, but desire that gift. Do not treat prophecy with contempt, right? So if somebody will tell you and said, well, they're gone and away with, and it's just like, we have not emerged as a glorious church yet, and it's not their decision whether it is gone and over with. Because the Apostle Paul is trying to tell them that love is the ultimate thing, that you need to guard your heart. Even if you can sing like an angel, if you have not loved, you're nothing, right? He is telling us that loving God and loving his people is the ultimate. Is the ultimate, much better than if you're operating in all the gifts, but you are not a very lovable person, right? Okay, so it is important for us to understand that God is expecting us. So this week, with all of your prayer requests, and for those of you that are listening on the radio, get your prayer requests to God in everything, but afterwards, you start thanking him and don't ask or pray or ask others to pray for you again, right? And that is why God now, his plan and his intent is starting today. The things in area of your life that you need deliverance or miracles, that he is going to manifest them if you dare to believe. Okay? That is the only requirement. And if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts, because the instruction you expect, like Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman wanted a difficult assignment to earn his healing from leprosy, right? Some of us, the instruction is so easy that we want something harder because our mindset is we have to earn it instead of thanking God for it. It is a gift. Gift is free. A gift of life and abundantly is free. You don't have to pay for it. Am I correct? It is a gift. So it is important for us to understand that. So visions are coming. Dreams are coming. Any of you have not gotten dreams? I started having them in series starting this year. But man, this summer, especially August, beginning of August, it's every day. Sometimes the whole night. And then it's just like, okay, Lord, and said, could you give me the explanations of this and why are you returning this again? And said, go back to my gospel. How did this all came about? So I read this again in John, and it's just like, oh, you operated in the word of knowledge. Just like the woman at the well. She became a believer, an instant evangelist, because Jesus told her how many husbands she had. And it's just like, oh. I said, you are a prophet. So when he said that I am the Messiah, she believed, because no one can prophesy a word of knowledge like that other than God. Hello? Okay. And here's another one. And your deliverance is going to bless nations. God, he wants his glory right now in your life. That's why he's making things very exact and very supernatural. Okay? Okay, so we talk about Nathanael. Now let's go to Acts chapter 10, verse 1. Starting with verse 1. Are you getting this? Okay. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. Means to say he's a Gentile. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. Those are characteristics. He prayed and he gave, right? One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. Why is it so fearful? Because angels are overwhelmingly huge, powerful, and intimidating. They're not cute little kids with a curly hair and no underwear. Those are not angels. I don't know why they always make angels that are naked. Their behind is always showing. They always have a curly hair. And said, no, they're very intimidating. That's why Cornelius was like, oh. And this is in a vision. An angel appeared to him in a vision, not even personal. He's like, what is it, Lord? Because he was fearful, because they're not cute. Okay? The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Here's the instruction. This is so easy, just like your instruction. Now, just like right now, send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. That's a word of knowledge, right? He's staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called 2 of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. Not only he sent his servants, he also sent what? Somebody, a bodyguard for the men of God. Right? He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. A Gentile named Cornelius saw a vision and received instruction from God through an angel. And his life, his family, and his destiny, and the destiny of the entire Gentile nations got redirected, got changed for all eternity. Hello? For all eternity. That's the plan of God, right? Same thing with you. And God has a plan and into perfection. It's flawless. every minute details, that perfect timing. His perfect timing is impeccable. A lot of times, especially for me, I want him to be early. Those last few days, exact time of standing in faith, those are the ones that are the longest, right? But we know that his perfect is flawless, the timing. So, Acts chapter 10, verse 9, it says, about noon the following day. So it took them days just to go. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. Verse 10, he became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And said, "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." They're not kosher. Remember the law? The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, see, you know, he said, "Lord, there's a meaning this, and I cannot quite." And said, "Where is Prophet Daniel when I need him? Where is Joseph?" Right? The men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you." And here is God. Did you see that? There are three men looking for you. The Holy Spirit did not care to elaborate. They're Gentiles. I said, three men are looking for you. He allowed Peter to come down. I said, just go with them because I send them. He didn't tell him the details. He didn't tell Peter, "You know what? I'm going to use you. This man saw you in a vision. He's a Gentile. And his household will be the first one to get baptized by the Holy Spirit. Because it is not just for the Jews alone, but it is for everybody." God didn't tell him about the plan. He just said, "Get up and go with them." Just like you. "Oh, but I don't understand, God." And said, "You will not understand it. Just go. You'll get an understanding once you fully obey me." Well, that's all the time that we have. Thank you for tuning in. And don't forget to register for the prophetic conference on September 29 and 30th. It's starting on Friday at 7 p.m. And Saturday, starting at 9:30, we'll break for lunch. And then we'll start again in the afternoon. And also, we are expanding the radio broadcast, and we're preparing for the mission trip, a big prophetic conferences in two provinces in the Philippines, and we are expecting thousands of people to come, and we are raising funds for that. For those of you that have spare millions of dollars, let me give you our address. Don't make it payable to me, but make it payable to Sons of God International, Post Office Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, it's Post Office Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. So you can send your spare thousands and spare millions. I can truly use them, and it's for your own blessings. And we have a fundraising event on September 16 and 17, September 16 and 17. That is Saturday, starting at 10 o'clock and ends at 5 p.m. And on Sunday, it's at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and until 5 o'clock. Bring lots of money. We have a lot of stuff to sell. It's for a good price. We're not going to sell you a pecan pie for $100. Instead, we're doing this God's way. So it will be a blessing for you, and it will be a blessing for us. And God bless you for tuning in. Until next time.
Thank you for listening. We all hope you were blessed by this message today. If you were, let us hear from you. If you wish to contact us or sow a seed, our phone number is 210-396-7891. And for Saturday's program, call us at 210-695-1630. Send all emails to sonsofgod@satx.rr.com and all letters to P.O. Box 1579, Lotus, Texas 78023. For more info, including service times and upcoming events, find us at www.sogmi.org. That's www.sogmi.org.